chilling in Iowa, just
Right, all right.
getting my online classes done, getting by.
Are you still in Ames, right?
Yeah, I'm still up in Ames, but I'm gonna be done within a year here. So,
Okay, for sure.
go full time. Not sure exactly, debating whether it'd be like industry or like on a master's program.
I got you, got you. Either way.
I'm doing.
It's doing good, doing good. My sister's good. They grown now, which is still crazy. Mom doing good. Everybody's staying safe through this epidemic, which is most important to me. So I'm glad everybody's safe and sound for real.
What's up? Thanks again for taking the time to do the interview for the podcast, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Gotta show love.
I had an idea for what I wanted to do. I was kind of thinking about issues I kind of saw within our community, and one of the main things that kind of stood out to me was like today the average income for African American families around like 31K for that's on within a year. And I was thinking, when that's your average income, it's very rare that you kind of see successful people that look like you. And it's hard to do what you can't see, whether you're talking about an engineer, a doctor,
Agree.
a software engineer. And just basically just want to set a solid example through this podcast by interviewing folks such as yourself through this. And to basically get started, just want to kind of go into it right away and just kind of introduce you, give a quick background on who you are and where you're from.
Okay, for sure. All right. So I'm Faron Rush, a recent graduate of Grambling State University in Louisiana. I'm originally from Chicago. Moved from Chicago when, like, I think elementary school, junior high. We moved to Iowa City, Iowa. I finished my high school career there. From there, like I said, I went to Louisiana, to Grambling State, where I studied both computer information systems and business management. Finished that last year, May 2019. Graduated and took a
Congratulations.
job. Thank you, appreciate that. Accepted a job offer from JP Morgan, working as a software engineer. So, fantastic experience. Learned a lot. I'm a current consultant for EY, consulting firm. So I work in the cybersecurity space right now. Currently, I feel like that's kind of the direction I want to go within a couple of years. Add a few certifications and kind of just get in that field and see what I can play with, because I ultimately want to start my own consulting firm. So I'm just getting all the experience I can and just trying to network and do things the right way, you know?
That's what's up. Out of curiosity, one thing I always kind of like to ask about is like people's backgrounds and how they kind of shape them to be who they are today. So out of curiosity, what was kind of your childhood like? Were there any experiences that kind of shaped you to be who you are today? Like you seem to be very entrepreneurial minded. Were there any like experiences growing up that kind of pushed you to be that way?
Yeah, I felt like that. I always paid attention to the people I looked up to, and one of my most biggest influences was Jay-Z. Sean Carter, I love the business side of him. I love what he took from rap and applied to the business world with his entrepreneur spirits and endeavors. He didn't just focus on one area. I mean, he perfected his craft in one area, but it founded various different ideas that ultimately made him a billionaire, right? So I think just paying attention to that, I felt like it was always a cool thing to be a business person, to kind of be the person suited up, handling business and taking care of things. So that was one of my influences. To be more specific, though, I do think I credit a lot of my success to my mentor. I had a great mentor in high school. His name is Alex Lodge. He graduated from the same university I did at Grambling State. And he was one of the first people I really seen that truly care about the success of myself. He kind of seen the people that I was hanging with and kind of just seen what could happen if I didn't get out of the situation I was in. So he encouraged me to go out to college, which was a great decision for me. Like I said, he poured a bunch of resources into me. He really got me to open up my brain to think in a different like dynamic to really think about longevity, what you want to do. How do you want to impact the world? How you want to get money? Like everything's like that. So I think he definitely played a huge role in my success today.
Prior to meeting your mentor, what did you what dreams did you have of in regards to your careers, like as a kid? And then how did those perceptions kind of change as you received some mentorship?
Okay. Well, originally I wanted to be a rapper. I wanted to be the next Kanye. I love music. I got a microphone tied on me, things like that. I still do. Not saying that that's not a career interest of mine anymore, but more so I think I want to make an impact. The moment I thought my thoughts changed from rapping to going to school, get a degree to make an impact on the world, I think it was about I think it was around high school, my senior year. I was going into my senior year. I really ain't have an idea what I wanted to do next. And he was the person who kind of, I'm going to make this decision for you. You need to go off to school. So he helped me with the application. I didn't know how to do college applications. I didn't have a resume or anything of that sort. So I think that's when it ultimately clicked. And I started thinking about my future. The more I thought about my future, the more I thought about what was I doing now to help me get there. So I feel like that's the moment where something switched in me, and I knew that I wanted to go this route more so, trying to get a degree and get a good job and find different ideas and get into the financial services.
What were your experiences like with school? Were you someone like that? Enjoyed it, disliked it, or?
I wasn't someone that enjoyed it, but I understood what I had in front of me. And what I mean by that is when I got to college, I understood it was going to be a lot of partying. I understood the dynamics, the politics of it, being out and all that good stuff, being involved. But I knew the foundation of that was the education part. So I would sit in the front row of all my classes. I would stay and talk to my professors after. I would build those relationships. So my name came up in discussions with different events and things that was happening on campus. Professors would speak up for me, even though I wasn't in the room, just based off my character, based off the relationship we started building. So I think that's where I kind of tapped into my little educational bag.
Prior to college, how'd you spend your time outside of school versus when you got to college, how'd you spend your time outside of school? How did that kind of switch, or was it the thing?
Well, you say before college or else?
I was saying compare them to both. So how were you spending your time in high school compared to how you were spending your time outside of school and college?
It was similar at first a little bit, because I was always a pretty decent student. I wasn't just knockoffs in high school, nothing like that. But I would think in college, you really meeting people that could be of great service to you after you graduate. So you really meeting with future doctors and future engineers and future governors and things like that. So I would kind of try to always just meet people. I would try to network. And I wouldn't discriminate. I know I was considered a cool guy in college and high school, but I would talk to that not so cool guy also that was in the same class as me or that didn't really have any friends, because I just knew the power of networking, the power of knowing people that can do something that you don't know anything about. And I feel like that's ultimately what it's about, having those resources that you can put together from various people that you met. So I would spend a lot of time being social. I joined a fraternity where I ultimately ran for a board member within my fraternity, also on a national level. And I felt like things like that was kind of where I started putting my interest in building that.
When was the first time you kind of, because right now you're currently, you say you're in financial services and you're doing a lot within that industry. When was the first time you've been heard about that industry?
I think it was in college. When I was in college, sophomore year, I started really learning about stocks. I started learning about Forex. I just started learning about different financial vehicles, real estate, that can kind of propel you and kind of build your wealth. And I think so. I was a sophomore when that clicked. That's when I started buying real estate courses. Talking to my mentor about, things like that. And ultimately just trying to make good decisions that can possibly make me wealthy. Yeah.
And while you're kind of learning about this, you're still finishing up classes. You said MIS. When you were kind of coming to college, did you necessarily know MIS is what I want to do? Management Information Systems is from here. How'd you figure that out?
Not at all. So coming into college, I just was studying general business. I felt like it was something that was pretty simple. I didn't really have no expertise level of exactly what I wanted to focus in. It hit me around the beginning of my junior year. That's when I added my second major, computer information system. I talked to someone that graduated from my university 3 or 4 years before me, and and they were just talking about what would I study, and I said business. He said that's it. I'm like, yeah. He like, you don't want to add a different like a different degree on that too. I'm like, I never really thought about it. What you suggest? He's like, man, you should get into computer information systems. Just kind of see what it's about. And then it made sense to me. I'm like, why not get 2 degrees at the same time and kind of add on my expertise with that and see where it goes. So I think that's when I really zoned in on computer information systems and started taking tech classes, programming classes. Kind of hate programming, but I know a little something about it. So yeah, I think around like my junior year, that's when I really zoned in on trying to be like in the financial industry, tech industry.
What language were you doing when you first started programming? And like, did you have any experiences with it prior to college?
No, I had no experiences with programming. I thought that it was for like, I just thought it wasn't for me. So I had no experiences at all. But I started with, what is that? C++. And then most recently, I just finished a tech boot camp sometime last year, and we were programming in Java. So that was my second introduction to it.
Now that you're kind of in the cybersecurity space, do you kind of see yourself doing more and more programming nowadays? Or
No, not actually. I'm really more so doing like a lot of analyst work within the cybersecurity space, where I'm just talking to different companies that I get hired for through EY, because we are a consulting company, and just kind of rating their system, seeing what's working for them, where's the threats, where's the vulnerabilities, pulling that out, and trying to see how can we strengthen that. So that's currently like my day-to-day.
How are you able to do that? What type of questions are you asking in order to find out where those flaws are for cybersecurity, as well as where are you looking to find those flaws?
Well, I start by really just having a conversation with the client, whatever client I'm working with, and just trying to get them to open up about the process. I just want to see the whole security process, walk me through it, ask them questions, really listen to what's their pain points. And that's kind of where I lock in on when I hear about different frustrating times throughout their process, or things that they're worried about. And then that's when I hear things like that, that's when I lock in and try to see how can I solve those frustrations and problems that they identified themselves, that I get them to say by just talking to them and asking the right questions about the process.
How are you introduced to cybersecurity?
This was recent. I just started this job like last month, actually. And the reason I kind of got intrigued with it is because I started looking at different certifications that you can get with cybersecurity. I originally wanted to go back to school to get my master's, but then I thought about, well, let me look at different certifications that I can get without going to school technically. And then I kind of stumbled across the cybersecurity space, and I have two mentors, actually. My other mentor is actually in the cybersecurity space, so I had some conversations with him about his experiences and what he's currently doing. He has his own consulting firm, but he kind of works as a freelancer for himself, and he get bought by companies to do the work that I'm doing. So that's ultimately where I want to end up, where I can just take a few projects a year and then just be chilling the rest of it.
How do you kind of go from not knowing that much about this industry to being able to actually get this first client? And what were the major stepping stones like in that journey for you?
I think that information is the first step I take when I don't know something about an industry or a job or anything. I just try to do some research on it, because there's so much information on the internet that you can find without paying for it. So that was my first line of offense there. Just reading up on different articles, seeing what's the trends, what's the hot topics in cybersecurity space. What is everybody else doing? What are big Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies doing within this space? And then I just try to write down important things that I find. Then I research those things. So to deep dive into it, I think that's kind of like how I do it first. Just looking at different articles, seeing what's the common trends, and then deep diving in those subjects. And with this first client, I'm actually still working with them right now. It's going pretty well. I'm learning a lot, learning about their systems, what's their pain points, and really just asking what do they want at the end of the day, and saying what can we need in the middle to get that done for them.
When it comes to mentorship too, you reference your mentors a lot. What is the importance of mentorship, and how has it kind of really benefited you?
Oh man, I think mentorship is essential to anybody that's looking to excel their career, not just from a from a standpoint of helping them or pointing to them, but just far as like life, like the questions that you have about experiences that you don't have yet. I feel like mentors can definitely serve as that facilitator between those thoughts. They push you towards the right direction. They motivate you. They hold you accountable. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm blessed to have two mentors that really hold me accountable and kind of just check up with me and just want the best for me. So I find myself being mentors right now for current people that go to my school, and really anybody that reach out and just looking for help, because I just know how essential my mentor was in my life. And I would love to reciprocate that and pass that on to the next young brother that's have a lot of questions, that don't really know where to go, that don't really know what the future looks like. I would love to kind of push them towards the right direction like my mentors did for me.
Now, if you could talk to somebody like necessarily from our background and doesn't have experience with that and didn't have someone that kind of came to them to find them and kind of mentor them, what advice would you have for them in regards to how to find a mentor?
Okay, yeah, I would say putting yourself in the right spot. So if you find something that you're interested in, first of all, and then try to reach out to experts that's in that area and be organic, I think that's one of the first things I would say, because no one wants a person that reach out to them and on the first thing you ask them, can you be my mentor? I think you really want that to be like a natural growing relationship, something that kind of happens organically. So that's one. Another good way to find mentors is utilizing your peers that you have, seeing what type of mentors do they got, seeing what your peers doing, and how did they find the good people that's supporting them, and kind of just reciprocating that energy. Also, utilizing great tools like LinkedIn, like different business tools that you can find professionals in. If you see somebody that went to your school, that's an alma mater, you can reach out to them and say what you're trying to do, and just try to form a relationship that way also.
Another thing I want to ask you is, when it comes to mentorship, were there any particular mentors from the ones you kind of mentioned that pushed you more towards entrepreneurship?
I would say I got my...
That's something that was like naturally just in you and you just wanted to go towards it anyway.
I think that was more so like a natural thing that came to me, that entrepreneur spirit type thing, because of the books that I was reading. Like I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a book I recommend anybody to read, actually, everybody to read, actually.
I'm reading that right now.
Yeah, I think it really flips a switch in you, in your thought process on the typical person life and how their life will play out versus someone that's not afraid to take a little risk, that got that entrepreneurial spirit, that can win very big if they just study the right things and just know the right things. So I think that entrepreneur thing, spirit in me, I kind of just created that through the knowledge that I was getting from the books I was reading. Then after reading books like that, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I would just start researching things that could possibly, I would just start researching things that I could do entrepreneurially, I guess. And then from that, I'll just try to aim for the moon and just try to pour into that as much as I can. It's definitely a marathon, it's not a race. So just keeping that in the back of my mind, every time I get money or a paycheck, I'm already thinking about ways to multiply that, because as you know, like just a paycheck nowadays in America isn't enough. You need to be thinking of different ways to make money, to really have your money make money. That's ultimately the key to success in that entrepreneur lifestyle, for sure.
That's facts. When it comes to entrepreneurship, how many businesses are you currently doing? I know I've seen a couple of yours, but out of curiosity, what's the, if you're comfortable sharing that information, what's the full operation?
So how many businesses I'm currently doing on the entrepreneur tip? I'll say like two is my main focus. I mean, I do a little of everything, but two would be my main focus. One would be the Rush Hour watches that I have. Then the Rush Hour snacks that I have. And
how did you get the idea for those?
The idea, I think it just came from, I don't really know. I think it, for the Rush Hour watches, I started researching drop shipping businesses. And I was seeing how people were making money online through e-commerce, not even owning material, but they selling it online through the manufacturer. Then the manufacturer just ships the products directly to the customer. I thought that business model was brilliant. Like, you know, you don't even have to have a bunch of things on stock, which
inventory.
Yeah, so you're not even spending money on inventory that's not going out. You more so just this is branding like a link that they can kind of buy stuff and they and the manufacturer handle it for you. So I thought that was brilliant. For the Rush Hour snacks, it kind of came. I don't know how that really came out, to be honest, but I thought one day, you know, Rush Hour snacks, why don't we do something that's kind of that's going to grow over the years and everybody know, like, the CBD medical marijuana industry is something that's booming right now. A lot of more states is legalizing it. And I feel like a lot of more states are going to legalize, especially right now during the epidemic, because when states really do open up, they're going to be looking for ways to kind of generate more money for that state because a lot of people were out of work. And I feel like a brilliant plan to me would be, it would just make sense to legalize marijuana in your state and just tax it and generate revenue for that state. So I feel like that's something that a lot of more states are going to do. I know Virginia just legalized it, so I think a lot of states on the East Coast are going to start following that philosophy too. So yeah, I just think with that, I was just thinking long term. Like, I know that this would be kind of big if we kind of get in right now and build it up and scale it up and see where it goes. So those are two that I'm currently focused on right now. Outside of real estate too, I do want to kind of purchase my house this year. At the end of the year, whether that be a fix and flip or something that I just live in and then sell or wholesale something, I just want to get into that industry also this year.
When it comes to those two businesses you were referencing, what's kind of been the hardest part about getting those businesses started and where were some of those challenges that you had early on?
I think just staying consistent with the businesses while still working a full-time job. So I think time management is the hardest thing to kind of accomplish among that all, because we are human. Things pop up in life that happen that will kind of draw back your motivation to kind of run those both successfully. So I think time management is something that is critical when dealing with a business outside of your job, for sure.
When it comes to funding your own ideas in entrepreneurship, where are you able to kind of find your own sources of money? Are you just pretty much funding it yourself from the job, or what's your take on people trying to get investors when they have ideas?
For the two that I got right now, they were self-funded myself. And I'm a guy that likes money. I like money. So I'm pretty much would do whatever. Like, I Uber for extra money to fund an idea. I do Lyft, I do whatever. So it's everything just self-funded right now, but eventually we are going to kind of look for more investors as it get bigger, as the operation get bigger for sure. So yeah, I'm not afraid of the investors also, but everything is self-funded right now, just because when you put investors into your mix, you got to kind of, they become shareholders and they get a say so in your operation. And I kind of want to have all a say so right now.
Most definitely. Another question I was curious to ask you about was, so you know, a place like a JP Morgan, and that's a big company, it's a Fortune 500 company. Today, more than 90% of senior leaders at Fortune 500 companies, you know, are typically white men. There are only about four black CEOs at all the Fortune 500 companies. One of them is Merck. Other ones, insurance company, TIAA, another fashion clothing company, and then Lowe's. But in the history of Fortune 500 companies, there's only been two black men ever served as CEO. One of them's the CEO, used to serve as the CEO of Xerox, and the other one was intermittent CEO for Bed Bath & Beyond. However, in that whole history, has been such a small list of people. And I was curious to ask you, based on like your knowledge and experiences, just being in some of those spaces, why do you think there's so few black folks in leadership, and where do you think those disparities are?
I think that's particularly due to systematic racism, because we're not in a space to be CEOs if we're not granted those same opportunities that like other people are getting. So I think that's definitely due to systematic racism. It's definitely something that's affecting everyone, every one of us as a black person, because if you don't see someone that looks like you in a space that you're working at, it kind of does something to you. Being the only black person in a room, it could be uncomfortable. It could definitely be uncomfortable. So I would love to see more people in those spaces, but I understand the politics behind it. It's very political. It's very political in those spaces.
So when it comes to those main disparities, where do you think we kind of are now? Where do you think the biggest, what gaps do we necessarily need to start bridging to kind of help create that pipeline?
I think we need to put more emphasis on people that's from under-resourced environments. We need to get them on a pipeline where they want to be a software engineer. They want to be a teacher. They want to be an accountant. You know, they want to be a scientist. And I think if we introduce that earlier on in their childhood, they will have those aspirations. They will have that drive to be that. Like I said, I really had no energy to go to college at all until my mentor introduced me to that. So I think the earlier we can introduce that idea into the people that's in those under-resourced environments, the quicker that we can kind of spark that curiosity where, oh, I'm interested in this. Let me start doing some research. Or I would love to start seeing what do I have to do to get in those spaces. And I definitely feel like that's kind of the philosophy I followed. I didn't know about it until I was introduced to it. And then when I got introduced to it through my mentor, that's when I started really doing my research and saying, okay, what does it take to be a software engineer at JP Morgan? Okay, what events do they attend throughout the year? Do they host any kind of conferences or anything that I can kind of attend and speak to a hiring manager and things like that? And that's ultimately how I got my offer from JP Morgan. I attended this conference called the Thurgood Marshall College Fund Leadership Institution, where it's where it's basically just a bunch of Fortune 500 companies getting together looking for diverse talent. Like literally, it's a conference full of black people, and they're looking for college students that's graduating soon, that's looking for employment. And that's how I got that opportunity with JP Morgan. So I was putting myself in the right space. But like I said, it goes back to being introduced to those environments. If I didn't know, my mentor told me about the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and then I applied, and then I got accepted, and then I got interviewed. So like I said, just introducing that earlier on in the career so we can really spark that curiosity within one's mind, I think that's one of the best ways to kind of counter it.
For sure. If you had to put a number on it, what percent of investments would you say for financial services industry kind of go to minorities and like kind of help address these issues? And outside that main fund you just mentioned right there, do you know of any other resources folks might be kind of be able to look into a little bit more?
So a few other resources that people can look into is the especially people of color would be the United Negro College Fund, which essentially is the same thing as the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. I'm sorry. And those two that I heavily utilized while in college, again, because they was looking for that diverse talent. They was looking for people like me to go into these corporate spaces and develop talent. But to answer your first question, I would say the percentages is better now. It's getting better as far as the resources that's being allocated to underserved communities. Like I said, JP Morgan just, I think they donated like, I don't know how many millions, I want to say like 60 some million to Detroit to kind of urbanize that area and kind of build up that economy. So that was a pretty cool move. If more big companies did things like that, I think that we can definitely be moving towards the right direction. But to put a number on it, I would say, I don't say a lot of that money isn't going to those communities to really build up people of color. I would say probably less than 5-10%, if that.
One thing I was also curious to ask you, it seems like you're working towards a lot of things right now, whether it's your businesses, whether it's real estate or the work you're doing on cybersecurity, kind of trying to pivot into consulting a little bit more. Are you kind of working towards, and where are you kind of at in that journey right now?
So right now I'm really working towards mastering Forex, which is the foreign exchange market, similar to stocks, but you trade in currencies. And it's a very lucrative skill that you can master and become very wealthy off of. So that's one of the skills I'm trying to master. And I'm also trying to get into trading options, which is something that was just introduced to me. And the option is, it's a binding contract of a stock. So it's 100 shares of a company, but it's called an option. And you can, so to trade stocks, you need a lot of money to really see money. Like if I wanted to buy some stocks in Amazon, I would need like a lot of money to actually see money. And that's kind of like a long-term game also. But with options, you can get into it. It's similar to stocks, but you don't need as much capital. So that's something that's kind of interesting to me. I'm actually taking a course in that right now. I should be finished with it today or tomorrow, and I want to go live with that. So where I'm at in those processes is I'm just studying and just trying to learn the strategies and get into different trading groups and kind of meet different people that can kind of serve as a mentor in those areas. And so those two things. And I would say also with real estate, like I said, I definitely want to do something by the end of the year where I'm either kind of got a house, flipping it, working on it, or like I said, just get in that space, period. So I would say I'm in a process of probably like 60-70% on all three of those financial areas where I'm kind of just studying and getting ready to kind of launch real soon. So
you keep mentioning a lot about you learning, because like you keep mentioning courses or having a mentor, just being able to learn more and more. Sometimes people kind of, when they're coming to college, they see the degree as like the end all be all, like I got my degree, I'm done, this is it. But in reality, it's just your certificate to start. And like people like you really do exemplify that. But once you do leave college and like it's an unstructured learning environment, you have to seek out the knowledge yourself. How are you able to keep learning? What resources are you utilizing? And what advice would you have for someone that's kind of very unfamiliar with that type of life, like having that unstructured environment where you have to, learning's just upon you. No one's going to tell you, you got an assignment today. If you want to learn, that's really just on you.
Man, I think that's a great point you just made, whereas like a lot of people just get degrees and just think it's over until they go to grad school or something like that. But like you said, it really just beginning after you get your degree, because you never want to be stagnant. You never want to kind of just be okay, like, oh, I got enough knowledge. Like, no, I'm forever a student. That's the philosophy I take on. So I think one of the things that keeps me in track with it is just my discipline that I picked up while in college. Like, I was thinking about my after graduation plans like around sophomore year. So I was already strategically placing, okay, what do I want to accomplish by then, by this year? And I knew that I have to keep learning. I have to keep learning new material. I have to stay sharp. I have to keep practicing these ideas. And I feel like I kind of was the disciplinarian of myself. And it's an ongoing battle, because sometimes you do get lazy and things like that. But you want to always relate things back to the main goal. And like I said, for me, it would be just utilizing these different financial vehicles to generate money, just to really help out my family and my community, because ultimately that is what it's about. I feel like that's what success means to me. How many people you can bring with you Who can you introduce it to? I feel like that's ultimately what it's about. So I think by me just continuously learning things and applying things and keeping that entrepreneurial spirit, that eventually something's gonna click and it's gonna be going towards the right direction for sure. So yeah, for me, just staying on top of myself, being accountable for myself, telling my goals to my mentors so they can hold me accountable and just keep working at it daily.
I think one of the biggest differences between like people have that your mindset versus the people that kind of see a degree as like a means to the end is the question of just like, what's your why? Like, why are you kind of doing this? Yeah. And you're talking to people that don't necessarily have that why. They just kind of are going through the routines kind of and just working their way through it. And when they lose that structure, it's kind of, they feel a little overwhelmed. But if someone's realizing that right now while they're listening to this and they're like, okay, I'm starting to realize, yeah, like I gotta figure things out after college, after my degree, what advice would you have for someone like that that's trying to figure out what they want to do even after all that?
I would say look at someone that's doing something that you plan to do and start there. And the reason I say that is because there's nothing new under the sun. So everybody experienced things that you experienced. Everybody kind of feel the same way you felt at a point in time. So kind of try to identify someone that is doing something that you want to do in the future. And then kind of pick their brain and try to kind of utilize them as far as getting more specific advice to kind of navigate through this lifestyle. Because there isn't like a playbook to life. So we all need guidance. So definitely just try to look for someone that's doing what you're doing or what you plan to do and kind of just mimic them.
And you kind of answered this a little bit in one of the past questions I asked you. You mentioned when you were talking about success, the importance of being able to bring your family and the people you care about with you on this journey. But you dive in a little bit deeper on what success means to you personally, because some people have a different definition. To some people, it's that just might be, I want to do financially better than I started out at, or I want to just be happy, or, you know, there's a different measure for each person. But for you, what does that mean?
Yeah, for me, I think I tie success to my why. So my success is definitely tied into my why, which is motivating and influencing people to look at things from a different perspective. My why is to really motivate the people around me that look up to me to do better, to do the things that they want to do without making excuses, really just getting to it. So that's my why. More specifically about how I kind of define success, like I said, I look at success as how many people can I bring with me and make and transform them into what I'm doing currently and kind of get them to kind of look at their goals differently and want to accomplish their own goals. So how many people can I help? I feel like that's successful in my eyes, because that's ultimately what it's about. You're gaining all this knowledge, you're gaining all these certificates, you're gaining all this employment opportunities and things like that. You're really crunching things for yourself, but you're not pouring back into the people that surround you or your family or people you're looking up to, your mentees. I feel like none of that is really successful to me, like if you're not giving back. So I think that's success for myself.
For sure. Also, on the road to success, you know, there's always adversity. It's never an easy path. Like, people see you for what you are now and they see a successful person. However, you always have to work to get to where you are. So out of curiosity, how do you deal with stress and what are some of the most stressful moments that throughout your journey?
Yeah, so how I deal with stress, undoubtedly, I would say working out, exercising. I put a lot of, if I'm stressed, I would definitely get in the gym, try to do some reps, hit some cardio, because it does something to me mentally that kind of, okay, I'm good, I can handle this. If it's stressful right now, let me go run a little bit. Let me see if I can do a couple miles. Okay, I did that thing that I said I was going to do. I did my 3 miles. I hit my goals. I'm feeling a little bit more better. Now let's get back to this thing that's bothering me. So I think that's one of the best practices that I have that's worked for me. One of the hardest times in my life, stress-wise, was around this time last year, actually. My house was destroyed due to a tornado in Louisiana right before graduation. And it kind of messed up a lot of my plans. Like, I literally lost everything but, like, my clothes and my suits, like, and my car. I had my car, too. But, that was a hard time, a very stressful time. Had family coming in for my graduation. I didn't even have a house. I had to, like, yeah, it was bad. It was bad timing. But kind of how I bounced back from it was looking at things from the best, angle and being quick on my feet. I was able to stay on campus for a little bit in a dorm room until I graduated due to that tornado thing. And right after I graduated from Grambling State, I moved to Texas, where I was able to stay in one of my mentors' condos until I was able to get those checks rolling in from JP Morgan and get my own spot. So again, that even just going back to having a great mentor and having great people that you can rely on during tough time and building that relationship where they want to help you. So yeah, that was kind of how I was able to bounce back from that, staying in his condo and just stacking my money until I was able to get my own spot. So yeah, that was a very, very rough time for me. But through that adversity, I was just looking at things from a positive standpoint. I was still alive. I was still breathing. I was still able to execute the moves that I had after graduation. So yeah, stress is definitely a lot. Before that, I say I was definitely handling stress horribly. I was just probably like the regular college kid, just partying, drinking, smoking, the pain away, all that good stuff. But I feel like you have to identify your trauma. You have to identify what's affecting you, and none of those above methods can really help you get through stressful times. It may feel good for a second or whatever, but to ultimately, that thing that's in your mind that's really bringing you down, you have to face that head on. So I think becoming more spiritual, utilizing therapists, really, really doing things of that nature is really something that helped me for sure.
And when it comes to stress, it's like there's a stigma in our community that necessarily if you talk about your stress, it's almost necessarily seen as a bad thing rather than something that's encouraged within our community. But at the same time, when you don't talk about stress, it kind of really builds up when you bottle it and internalize it with yourself. So like when it comes to folks that are kind of currently doing that right now and aren't necessarily dealing with the proper way, what would you have to say to those type of folks?
Man, I would say let it out for one. Try to find someone that you can really just talk to. And even if they're even not giving you guidance or anything, just really having like a real genuine conversation where you just getting out your frustrations, because that feels better than you may think. Like that actually feels way better than many might think. So really just verbally letting out what's bothering you. And for two, I think not doing like substance abuse, you need to stop that if you are doing that to kind of deal with your stress, because again, it's going to put you in a space where it's going to tear down some of your drive, some of your spirit, some of your goals that you're looking towards. You're going to become, you're going to be okay with the way that your life is going while you're dealing with that stress, even though you're doing those things. So I think that's something that you should do, but I will definitely recommend having like a good listener, someone that can just listen to you, pour out your pains and just comfort.
Most definitely. As Black men, it's something that we typically neglect is our mental health a lot. So sure. Yeah, I preach those exact same things for sure. Like it goes a far way. Before we wrap up, I want to kind of ask you a couple more questions, but one of them will be, so knowing what you know now, what advice would you kind of give to your younger self? So if you could talk to Ron prior to coming in Gremlin, what would you say to him?
I would say, oh, that's a good one. Knowledge I would give to myself. I would say to really think about think about your career, keeping your end goal in mind. What do I want to get out of this experience? I think if I was able to identify that sooner, I could execute a few different plans I had earlier. So that was one. Just kind of start focusing on your game plan. Really write down your goals, like on a piece of paper. Really write down your goals and post it somewhere, and kind of try to relate everything to your main goal. Like day by day, is this going to help or is this going to hurt my main goal? And I think that's one of the best things that I can give to anyone. Like, write down the goals, the things you want to do, and think about it from that perspective. Am I helping or hurting by doing this action? And and that'll kind of always keep you balanced, keep you on track. And second, I would be just to get out it, just get out and experience different things. I haven't left the country yet, so I didn't get a chance to study abroad or things like that. That's something that I definitely wish I would have did. I need to get my passport, actually, now that I think about it. I'm just rambling now, but yeah, doing things like that, keep that on the forefront.
I can definitely send you some resources to check out if you're looking to get out the country and potentially even do it for free. I might send you some stuff after. I was going to ask you, if you could step in my shoes today, is there any questions you would have asked yourself that I didn't ask you today?
I really think the question that you asked was some pretty well thought out questions that was able to get some necessary dialogue. So I think you hit everything today, to be truthfully.
Appreciate it, man. One last thing is, it would be okay if you had people reach out to you and just, I shared your LinkedIn on the video description.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
If people want to contact you, what would be the best way to contact you? That'd be a LinkedIn or just hit you up on Instagram or what?
They can search me on LinkedIn for Ron Rush or my Instagram. It's Rolls Rush, R-O-L-L-S, Rush, R-U-S-H. And yeah, and I'm always willing to answer any questions, provide some guidance, provide some insight or anything of that nature. Because like I said, helping people is the key. That's my why. So I definitely want to be of assistance if I can.
Most definitely. And right before we wrap up, can you give a quick way for folks to look up your businesses and just see more about them, or if they're potentially interested
in those businesses with you? On Instagram and Twitter, it's Rush Hour Snacks, spelled just like how it sounds. As far as for my Rush Hour watches, I took my website down because we got the relaunch. So if they just follow my main IG, Rose Rush, they'll be able to keep up with everything that I got going on and be ready for that relaunch.
Most definitely. All right, perfect. Thanks again for taking the time to do the interview, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.